Today's reading is taken from John chapter 10, beginning to read at verse 11, and can be found on page 1076 of the Bibles. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheepfold. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. The Jews who heard these words were again divided. Many of them said, "He is demon-possessed and raving mad. Why listen to him?" But others said, "These are not the sayings of a man possessed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?"
What image comes to your mind when you think of a shepherd and sheep? I do confess, I imagine myself as that small little sheep safe in the arms of my shepherd. A couple of years back, my brother came to visit, and we were driving along some countryside lanes. They wanted to see English countryside, so we drove around, and they noticed that there are sheep everywhere. And we might not think about this much, but in Sweden, you never, I'm not sure if I can remember seeing a sheep, you know, just grazing as you drive along the motorway or a countryside. I don't know why, but in England, we actually do see quite a lot of sheep. And they thought that it'd be quite easy to go to the nearest corner shop and pick up a sheepskin or a sheepskin rug, and that it would be really cheap. And it was quite funny, really. But, you know, despite all these sheep, you know, that you sometimes almost ran into if you're driving on a country lane and the shepherd decides to move their flock, we don't really know much about shepherding, I don't think. I mean, is there anyone here who has a lot of shepherding experience? You've delivered a lamb. Oh my gosh, you should be doing this. It's good to know that we've got a qualified doctor and vet in the congregation. Cool. So we've got someone who's delivered a lamb. But, you know, other than that, we don't probably know much about shepherding. But in biblical times, shepherding and rearing sheep was a really important part of life, a way of... that was your fortune. You know, you might today invest in a house, but in those days you invest in your flock. And they were important in the religious sacrificial system as well. And the term shepherd had several layers of meaning, both in agriculture, but also in political life and in the life of faith. So although much of the culture and the way of life in biblical times, you know, we know some of it and we try to learn about it, to put our preaching and our teaching into context. But still, it is hard to imagine ourselves quite there. But we're going to try to fully understand the image of the Good Shepherd. We're going to have to look a bit deeper at shepherding and what Jesus means when he says, "I am the Good Shepherd." My earliest memory of the image of Jesus as the shepherd, perhaps the same for you, comes from a mother or a father or a grandma telling the story of the little lost sheep. And countless of times I would ask for the story of little Wooly, or in Swedish she was called Ullis. And Woolly, she was a curious but very, very naughty lamb. And retelling after retelling by my dear mother, Woolly would find new ways to escape the herd, the sheep pen, and the notice of the shepherd. She would follow a butterfly or a bird. She would get lost, tangled up in brambles. She would cower under a bush in darkness, hearing the howls of the wild animals, gripped by fear. But obviously the common and comforting end to the story was when Woolly could hear, far away in the distance, the voice of the shepherd calling her. When Woolly heard him calling, she instantly felt comforted, safe, and a deep longing to run towards her shepherd. The shepherd and sheep image does lend itself to Sunday school material, but I'd like to insist that as we grow up and mature, that image is still very much relevant to us. The persistent but gentle call of Jesus will always pursue us, no matter how old we are or how long ago our Sunday school days are behind us. I'd like to start by looking at the term I am briefly. We've done that in previous weeks as well. But we're going to start by looking at I am, then we'll flounder around the term shepherd, and then we'll move on to look at the word good, and then we'll see where we get to from there. So Jesus declares, I am the good shepherd. And when he does, he's saying so many things about himself. His words may remind us of a shepherd carrying a lamb across his shoulders, caring for it and protecting it. And that is very much part of it. And yet, Jesus is also saying much, much more. His listeners at the time would have gasped in disbelief when Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. Within some people, their hearts would have been strangely warmed and filled with hope, longing. Others would have picked up stones to throw at him, to kill him, for threatening their way of life, their position, and their ideas about how life and faith should be lived. As we've heard explained in previous week during the sermon series, the words I am were blasphemous to utter. It was the very name that God had chosen for himself, and the Israelites would never pronounce it. Jesus' words hark back to when God tells Moses in Exodus, that if anyone's wondering who has sent you, you should tell them that I am has sent you. God's name that he chooses for himself is I am who I am. So here in John, Jesus therefore is clearly saying, I am God. And this is really, really important. It's important that Jesus is God, because if he isn't God, he is no different from any other shepherd that has come before him. So let's move on then to the term shepherd. Jesus connects the I am statement with the image of the shepherd. I am the good shepherd. In the Bible, the king of the people is the shepherd. Like a shepherd, the king's role is to protect, to comfort, to rule, to lead, drive away enemies. Jesus is saying that he is God and that he is king. Kings have come before him, but now the true shepherd, the true king has come. Reading on, just if we'd read a few more verses, we would have seen that at the time Jesus is saying this, it's the time of the festival of dedication. We might know it as Hanukkah. And in 168 BC, there was a war called the Maccabean War. And it was fought by devout Jews who'd risen up against occupying forces, who had desecrated the temple, brought in foreign gods. And this festival that Jesus and his disciples are there to celebrate, it was a time meant to reflect on and remember what a good shepherd, what a good king and leader looked like, and to together reject false leaders. So with this festival as a backdrop for Jesus' word, he's making a clear statement. In previous verses, in the same chapter, Jesus has rebuked the Pharisees for being false leaders. And he's likened them to the thieves who would climb over the sheep pen and steal and kill the sheep. And similarly, in the Old Testament, the prophets, they rebuked the leaders and the kings of Israel for being false and self-serving shepherds. Let me just read a few verses from Ezekiel. "Woe to you, shepherds of Israel, who only take care of yourself. Should not shepherds take care of the flock? You have not strengthened the weak, or healed the sick, or bound up the injured. You've not brought back the strays or searched for the lost. You've ruled them harshly and brutally. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd." This is God speaking. "I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. As a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them, so will I look after my sheep. Then they will know that I, the Lord their God, am with them, and that they, the Israelites, are my people, declares the sovereign Lord. You are my sheep, the sheep of my pastures, and I am your God, declares the sovereign Lord." Jesus is joining the prophets from of old, saying that all other shepherds and kings and leaders that have come before him have been fools. They've not cared for the sheep, but served themselves. Now, in Jesus, the true shepherd, God, the true shepherd, has come in Jesus. He, Jesus, is the shepherd that the prophets have been foretelling about. Jesus is the king who will rule forever on David's throne. And in him we see the fulfillment of God himself promising to be our shepherd. Jesus is not just a shepherd, he's the shepherd. Jesus claims to be God and the true shepherd king that Israel's been waiting for. So what's this shepherd going to be like? Jesus describes himself as the good shepherd. And he compares himself with the weak and self-serving shepherds of the Old Testament, from Ezekiel that we've just read from. And he compares himself with the leadership of the Pharisees. The word good doesn't quite fully in English encompass the word and the meaning of the word that Jesus used. The word Jesus used to describe himself as a shepherd does mean good, but it also means lovely, beautiful, noble, true, compelling. Jesus is the good shepherd who weeps over a shepherdless flock. Jesus is the good shepherd who goes searching for the one missing sheep. He is everything that is beautiful, sacrificial, and honorable. He is the shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. He does not serve himself, but he came, lived, and died to give us life. He is the good shepherd. So we've looked briefly at Jesus' statement, "I am the good shepherd." Let's move on and see what else Jesus says about the good shepherd. I'd like to make two points And we'll start by looking further down the passage at verse 14 if you want to follow in your Bibles. And here Jesus talks about the intimacy between the shepherd and the sheep. And this is what he says. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep knows me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. In the ancient world, multiple shepherds out together shepherding their separate flocks would gather their sheep within a communal sheep pen to keep them safe at night. And in the morning, the shepherd would need to separate his sheep from the other sheep. And to do this, he would call or whistle and the sheep would come to him. Sheep are vulnerable animals. They don't have sharp claws, strong jaws, or poisonous fangs to defend themselves against predators. They don't have thick protective skin, they can't run very fast, and they're not especially intelligent so as to outsmart an attacker. They're also very good to eat. But the one thing that sheep have going for them is their shepherd. The sheep know his voice, and when he calls, they come. And this one way, having a shepherd, that's the way they are protected, watered, and fed. The sheep know the shepherd, but the shepherd also know his sheep. After all, they are his, he owns them. He spends most of his waking and sleeping hours with them. The shepherd knows which sheep is weaker, which is stronger, which sheep easily gets lost or fall behind. He knows every sprained ankle, every wound, every spot and hoof. He knows every sheep's name. Jesus is saying that in the same way as the shepherd knows the sheep, and the sheep knows the shepherd, he knows us, and we may know him. We are not a nameless, faceless crowd to Jesus. Jesus says that he knows each one of us personally, and not just on a first name basis, but deeply. He knows everything about you. Your victories, your defeats, your joys and sorrows, your wounds, shame, your fears and dreams. He knows us better than our spouse, our parents, our best friend. He knows us better than we know ourselves. When he died, he bought us with his blood. He purchased us. So we now belong to him. Like the shepherd owns his sheep, Jesus owns us. He is our shepherd. And in an amazing and unbelievable way, Jesus goes on to say that not only does he know us, but we may know him. In Jesus, our shepherd, God has made himself known. God is a God. He is not aloof. He is not far away. He's not distant. He's not an introvert, but that might be offensive to those of you who are. He does not want to be alone. He wants to be with us. He is a God who wants to be known. He wants us to know him deeply. He wants us to know what he's like. He wants us to know what he can do. He wants us to know what he says, what he thinks. And Jesus likens our relationship with him to that of the relationship between the Father and the Son. And he says that we may know him in the same way as the Son and the Father knows each other. The Father and the Son share a deep intimacy and knowledge of one another. They have belonged to one another from all of eternity. They've dwelt together, delighting in one another, dwelling with one another as one. And here, in these verses, Jesus seems to be saying to us that we may know him like this, that as linked, as united, as the Son is to the Father, so we are to Jesus, our shepherd. Jesus' invitation to intimacy with him should fill us with joy and longing. We can't fully understand what that will look like, but joy and longing can be our first response. He extends this invitation to us because of his deep love for us. And as we look at our second point, we see this love expressed in Jesus' promise that he will lay down his life for his sheep. Let me read from verse 11. Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired man and cares nothing for the sheep." In these 10 verses, our reading this morning, Jesus says 4 times that he will lay down his life for the sheep. A shepherd's job was dangerous. Thieves and wild animals would come to attack and steal and eat the sheep. And perhaps Jesus is imagining a flock under siege, penned into its fold, the shepherd trying to chase away the robbers or the wild animals with his staff or rocks. Jesus compares the reaction of the good shepherd with the reaction of the hired hand who runs away. Now, why does the hired man run away? I think I would if I was attacked by a lion or a bear. The hired man doesn't run away because he doesn't respect the value or the financial worth of the sheep. The sheep are really valuable, by the way. The hired man would have been penalized. Money would have been taken out of his salary for any damage to the sheep that would have happened on his watch. And he doesn't also run away because he's a baddie. The bad guys in the story here are the wild animals and the thieves. The hired man simply runs away because he rather saves his own life than that of the sheep. So what about the good shepherd? What does he do? Jesus says that the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Why would he do that? Why would the shepherd die for a few measly sheep? You know, say there are robbers. They might be able to take quite a few of the sheep, but if they were wild animals, they'd probably be full after one or two. So, you know, the shepherd could just lie low, lose a couple of sheep, and then still live. But actually, he lays down his life. He's not prepared to throw out even one little lamb to kind of appease the lion. No, he lays down his life trying to protect them. Why does he do this? Well, the sheep are in mortal danger. The shepherd loses his life to defend the flock. And this is what makes him different from the hired man. This is what makes him the good shepherd, that he willingly lays down his life to protect them, to try to keep them safe. Earlier in the chapter, Jesus says that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but that he has come that we may have life. Jesus is our shepherd who willingly lays down his life to protect us. I'm also going to read from Isaiah 53, like we did for our confession. Listen to these words about Jesus. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was put on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us have turned our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity, the guilt of us all. We have all gone astray, turned our backs on God. Like sheep, we have run away, got lost, got caught in brambles, or pursued by wild animals. The Good Shepherd willingly laid down his life for his sheep, for you and me. We are his sheep, and we belong to him, and he's passionately committed to us. When Jesus died on the cross, he defended us from death, from the enemy, and from our sin. He laid down his life so that we may live. No matter if you're a fresh little lamb, or if you have a woolly bad hair day, or you're a bit ragged, or perhaps you're the black sheep of the flock, the question is still, how are we going to respond to the shepherd's call? The call that's pursuing us. Perhaps you wonder if it really, really is possible to be as close to Jesus as a little lamb being carried over his shoulders. We live in a society and culture where we isolate ourselves from one another, where loneliness is a huge problem. Perhaps this also goes for our relationship with God. We were made to live in a close relationship with God. And perhaps this deepest human need and longing is something that resonates with you today. We all need to belong. We all need to be someone to someone. We need to be cherished and loved. Perhaps there are things about yourselves that only you know that scares you or makes you sad. Sometimes I fear that we reject what we think is a childish, gooey, soft or romantic and therefore inferior way of looking at Jesus and relating to Jesus. But I believe it's important not to belittle the power of the Sunday school story of the sheep and the shepherd. I long to hide myself in the safe arms of Jesus, to know him intimately and closely, to hear his tender voice speaking comfort and love to me. Sometimes when I feel tired, overwhelmed or fearful or hurting, and it's often when I go to bed and it's been a bad day and I haven't prayed and everything seems hard, I'll lay down. And there's no time left now, is there? I have to go to sleep because I'm getting up early. And I'll just close my eyes and I don't know if I say it or if I whisper it, and I say it in Swedish, but I'll just say, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. If this resonates with you, can I just encourage you to take some time this morning, at the end of the service, and as you go home, to find a quiet moment to still yourself and listen for that far away, persistent, but gentle call of your shepherd. Ask Jesus by his Holy Spirit to come closer, to be nearer, or that you would experience him closer and nearer, because he is always close. Invite him into the you that only he knows. Ask him to let you know him better and truer. And as you get to know him better, you will also realize how very, 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 very good he is. How kind and beautiful, noble and true he is. Some of us perhaps identify more clearly this morning with the sheep in danger. You've wandered far away from the shepherd, perhaps got lost, got tangled up in brambles. You got wounded and you're hiding from wild animals. Circumstances of life, other people's sin, your sin, and the enemy sometimes seems like a joint force dragging you further away from the good shepherd and into mortal danger. Jesus came to give us life, and on the cross he laid down his life for you and me to protect us. When he died, he broke the power of death and sin in our lives. And if you are caught in sin, if you are lost, or if you are wounded, the good shepherd can rescue you. We need to listen to his call. We need to let him lead us, and we need to follow him. To do this, we must let go of our sin and let go of the part of us that wants to be our own shepherd and follow our own path. Perhaps if when you think of shepherding, you think of Lassie and an old snowy-haired man and a sheepdog herding the sheep, running circles around them, walking behind to gather them in, a dog biting at their legs. But in ancient Israel, the shepherd didn't walk behind the sheep. He walked ahead of them, leading them and showing the way. Jesus laid down his life to rescue us from mortal danger, from death and the power of sin. The good shepherd laid down his life for us that we might live. So there's only one path that leads to life. And that is behind, closely following behind the good shepherd. Amen.